Just go solo. Just decide you're going to do it and do it.
This is Solo Travel Talk. Your solo travel advisor is Astrid Clements.
If you want to make your solo travel adventures successful, you'll need to have your fundamentals in order. Good thing you have Astrid Clements, your solo travel advisor, and Solo Travel Talk. I'm producer Catherine O'Brien. On this episode, Astrid gets back to some basics. The conversation on today's show was inspired by Astrid's recent appearance on the Thinking Liberty Travel Podcast. Astrid begins with what she does before every solo trip. Here's Astrid.
First and foremost, I develop a travel budget for every trip before I even decide whether I want to take this trip. And a lot of people don't do this. They kind of do it, but then they really don't do it. And this is something that I guess they don't do it because nobody likes to do it. But when I start my dreaming in, you know, like, let's say Ireland, I found out about this travel bloggers conference, and I thought, yeah, I should do it. But then I put it off. Then I read some more things about the speakers, and I decided I should go to this. This has got some good best practices, some new trends, et cetera, that I should go to. But I thought, well, you know, I've just been to Los Angeles. I'm going to Paris in November, done a lot of traveling this year. Is it really feasible financially? Should I do this? So I decided if I can make this happen for $3,000 for 9 days, I'm going to do it. I looked at the cost of the conference, which was very affordable. Aer Lingus is great in terms of affordability, and it's a wonderful airline. Travel flies directly from New York to Dublin. The hotel was at a very wonderful rate in conjunction with the conference. So I thought, I can make this happen easy, and I can do some touring or spend some time in Dublin and outside of Killarney where the conference is, and I can do it for $3,000. So I said, hey, this I want to make this happen. So that is the first thing I do. I decide, can I make something happen with a certain amount of money? Say I do a trip, I want to go, say, Paris for 10 days, and I want to do it for $5,000. I don't want to really scrimp. I want to stay in a really nice hotel. Might not be the Ritz or the Georges Sank or one of the really fabulous ones, but I want to stay in a very nice hotel. And I want to go business class, and I want to do, you know, some things that will cost some money. Can I do it for $5,000? Well, how I look at it is I'll price out the big items, the flight and the hotel and getting me from the airport to my hotel. Say that's, let's just say $2,000. You've got $3,000 left over 10 days. You can spend $300 a day. Can you have fun for $300 a day and make it happen? So if you can do it, that's typically how I decide, okay, I can do this. I can do a little shopping, do some eating, go to the museums, and really enjoy myself, say, in Paris. When I get there, I kind of keep a running tab every day of how much I'm spending. If I go over $300, if I find some real something that I want to buy, I have to pull back the next day or two in order to bring it back in line. That is one thing that I think that I do that is really unique to a lot of people. I try to keep up with what I'm spending daily, and I do a real trip budget. I've done a whole podcast about trip budgeting. I've done several blogs on my website, astridtravel.com. What you can do is you can go on and see those blogs. You can download my worksheet. I've got a pre-trip and a post-trip budget to where, and I always do, when I come home, I look at to see if I've, you know, how close I am to my target. And it works magic. That's another thing. When you actually do something like this, put pen to paper, there's something that kind of keeps you really in line. And it's wonderful when you come home and you don't have that credit card shock. You know, well, I can either pay all this off next month or it's just going to take me 2 months to pay it off and I'll be A-okay. So that is one thing that I do, and I do it for every trip, and I really do like to stress doing it.
Not to sound like a square, but that is one of my favorite Solo Travel Talk episodes because you break it down so clearly and it actually makes it possible. It takes it from the intangible, like, oh, I wonder if I could go to China, and you actually get things on paper and you can see, yeah, I can, or here's how I can do it. It, for me, that whole process made it everything seem possible.
Yeah, and for a lot of people, they'll see, well, it's out of reach, say by $2,000 or whatever. And then they can decide, well, it'll take me 6 months or 10 months to save up that extra money so I can do it. And then they can do it.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Rather than just going. So, well, I can get the airfare and this. And then they go, and I'm telling you, things are more expensive. And, oh, everything.
Contingencies, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. And in my budget, I have, you know, a category for miscellaneous. You really do need to plan on something going wrong or whatever, because it does, you know, you end up blowing $100 here that you never thought you would blow. So it's very valuable. A couple other things that I do in my research before I decide to go somewhere, and also when I decide what I want to do, and a lot of other things when I'm going to a particular destination, is I look at YouTube videos. Videos are becoming more and more what people like to use as their research and their informational platform. They don't have time to read, say, blog posts or comments. They do read them. But the video is something that you can get a lot of information by, not just what you're looking for in terms of, you know, yes, this is a beautiful hotel. Like, say if I'm trying to decide what hotel to stay in, I'll pick the three top hotels after I've done all the research on TripAdvisor, Kayak, Booking.com, you know, all my Google things that I do. I take the top three that I know are in my price range, and I put YouTube, say the Ritz-Carlton and London Ritz-Carlton or whatever, and that comes up, and usually there's, you know, a lot of times 5, 10, if it's a very well-known hotel, many more videos. You'll have the professionally made videos, and then you'll have, you know, the individual traveler videos. These are wonderful. You can really decide, yes, I love this hotel, or what I saw on the internet, the pictures, it's deceiving. You know, the videos show you a lot. So they're really wonderful. And it also, in deciding what you want to do. Do you really want to go to this flea market? You know, usually they'll have videos on, you know, say the Paris flea market. You kind of get an idea of what is there. So you can decide, do I really want to do that before you go? What to wear? You know, that's another big question I always get. Oh, my God, what should I bring when I go here or there? If you put in YouTube what to wear in Abu Dhabi in the summer, you'll see, as a tourist, you'll see what people are wearing and what you should wear a lot of times, too, what is culturally you should be aware of that is, you know, unacceptable for a foreigner to present themselves in a certain way when they dress. So I love these videos. And so I really do watch them. I take the time. And I strongly recommend anybody who's getting ready to go anywhere to search for the videos. And then back to my private guides and drivers, don't be afraid to do that. You know, I know if you're on a tight budget, you might not want to do that. You might want to do more of the day trips or small group tours that you can take once you get to a destination. And all of those are good. But still, you will be with a group. You will be confined to being, you know, to only being allowed to see certain things for a certain amount of time, and it messes everything up. Sometimes you really want to linger. You really say you want to ask some questions. You're just not ready to move on or what. If you have a private guide and driver, you're the boss, and you can say, "Oh, I don't want to do." You get there and you don't like it. No, I don't want to do that. Let's move on to the next thing. They are wonderful. And what I typically do is I set in my mind how much I am willing to pay for the experience. I go to the concierge. I tell them what I want to do. If it comes back too high, I just say, look, I don't have that. I can only spend this much. Can you make this happen or whatever? I'm telling you, most of the time they'll figure out how to make it happen. So that's another thing that I do that I did not do when I first started traveling, and that I do now, that I think are all very useful. I'd say those are the key things.
So Astrid, anybody who's ever heard your show before knows that the overarching theme of this podcast is for people to really just get out there and go solo. So if you have one piece of advice for somebody who's hearing this about just getting out there and becoming a solo traveler, what would that be?
I would say start small. If you really want to start traveling and you've never done it by yourself, don't go to Europe the first time all by yourself. Pick somewhere close to home that you've always wanted to go to that you've never done. You know, I live in Louisiana. New Orleans is a fabulous place to come for a long getaway. You can linger in the cafes, walk the streets of the French Quarter, the Garden District, the Warehouse District now, Magazine Street, fabulous shopping, great places to eat. New Orleans has got the most wonderful architecture and music and culture. I mean, I really do think besides New York City, New Orleans is one of the most fabulous cities, really, in the world. It is so unique, and especially in the United States. So pick somewhere where you think that you will be comfortable. Savannah is a great place. Charleston is a great place. Miami Beach is wonderful to go to for your first time. These are all places, and there are many more. These are all places that are walkable. So you need to go somewhere that's close to where you live, not, you know, some big trip that, you know, is...
Don't make Beijing your first try.
Exactly. Because you're going to be homesick. You're going to be more on edge. The culture shock is going to be worse. It's not going to be as enjoyable, and you're not going to be as relaxed as you should be because you're not used to traveling solo yet, sleeping in the hotel by yourself, eating by yourself. You need to start slow with this so you get used to it. It's like anything, you know, riding a bicycle. You start with training wheels, and you ride on those with training wheels till you're ready to take those training wheels off. So that's what I would really say is, first of all, pick places that you think are interesting that is close to where you live. Santa Fe is another wonderful place. Phoenix, Scottsdale. There's so many places in the United States that are walkable, that are interesting, that you'll find a lot to do, especially if you have a, you know, specific thing you want to explore, like botanical gardens or gardening, or you want to shop, or you want to do spas, etc. So you do that, you pick where you want to go, and it really, based on research, don't just say, oh, I want to go to New Orleans. Do your research before that, because when you get there, you want to have some kind of focus and know what you want to do. To go solo and just kind of be at loose ends and not know what you want to do, that's another thing that will get you kind of like, this is not fun. And you don't want for that to happen. And you just try to plan everything out in terms of your logistics, what you want to do, et cetera, before you leave. And then, like Nike says, just do it. Just go solo. Just decide you're going to do it and do it. That's my advice. I mean, it's just like anything else. You know, when you're learning to swim, you're going to have to go underwater one time. You're just going to have to do it. But it's not so bad. And then you get with it. And then, boy, you know, you end up being on the swim team.
That's great. Okay. Astrid, can you share any memorable or very particularly exciting travel stories with us?
Well, this is like a big story. This isn't just a trip to one particular destination. I'd say probably, if not my most memorable trip that I've ever taken solo, it's in the top three, but it's probably really, when I think about it hard, it is the most memorable trip, is when I went around the world in 50 days solo. That was something that I had always wanted to do. I had always wanted to say that I had done an around the world trip. There's actually even a club that you can join called the Circumnavigators that you cannot join unless you've done an around-the-world trip. And I read about these people, 25 years ago. And I thought, you know, I'd love to be part of that group. Those people, I'm sure, are really interesting. So I had always had that in my mind that I wanted to go around the world. Well, I really wanted to do it with my husband. But there was no way that I could excite him to get on and off planes, stay in different hotel rooms, go shopping all over the world, go to museums. Oh, my God. After, like, stop two, he would be a bear. So I knew that was going to be impossible. I would never be able to do it. So when I launched Astrid Solo Travel Advisor, I decided that I was going to showcase a trip around the world, and that what I would do was to focus on affordable luxury and how you could go around the world, stay in five five-star hotels, travel business class outside of the United States, and do it for a very reasonable price, which I consider, here again, affordable luxury. And that price point, I'm always saying, is between $500 and $1,000 a day. Well, I set a goal to spend on this trip $32,500. And that's around $600, $650 a day. So that was right in my price point. That's for everything, okay? I chose 7 places that I had never been before, going to 7 different cultures. So I wanted to show how you could go around the world, affordable luxury, 7 different countries, places I'd never been, 7 different cultures. Well, I chose Lisbon for kind of a European experience, Marrakesh, North African, then Egypt, which basically was Cairo, and then I did join a tour down the Nile, a riverboat cruise with Uniworld, which was delightful, because I knew I couldn't see all the significant sites of ancient Egypt unless I did that. A private guide and driver really was out of the question, because it's too long of a trek, etc. Abu Dhabi, Singapore, Bangkok, and Hanoi. This turned out really to be a trip that really is so dear to my heart, I don't know how to say it. And I must say, I came in at like, I think, $300 over my budget. But I was still elated because if you look at around the world trips now with Abercrombie and Kent or National Geographic, any of the Tuck, any of the real good travel aggregators that I would like to go to on. I don't want to do anything real budget. For the solo traveler, they start at somewhere around $85,000, and that's only for 25 days. So I wanted to show that you could go around the world, stay in great hotels, do really interesting things, and it not be horrendously expensive. I accomplished this, and this trip was really something that I had always wanted to do. And I went from east to west. I'm going to do one maybe next year from west to east. I liked it that much. The only caveat I share with my listeners is if you want to do this, you have got to get in shape for it. It's a very testing type of trip because when you go to all these different cultures, you're going to have the culture shock, number one. Then the environment is so different, too. I have very bad sinuses, and oh, my sinuses, every place that I went, they would have to get used to the new environment. The foods are different. So, you know, your body is reacting to that. Physically, it is a challenge. So I do share with anybody who is thinking about doing it, you know, you need to be in shape to do it, both physically and mentally, because it's a trek. And so in order to totally enjoy everywhere you're going, you have to really get yourself prepared.
Besides, was that the longest travel trip you've ever taken?
I know you did. I went from Miami to Maine on a road trip, and that was that longer. It was about the same amount of time. It was 6 weeks. So, yeah, and let me tell you, 50 days is about, you hit the brick wall at 50 days. That's what I'm saying. I mean, for most people, they hit the brick wall in 3 weeks. That's when they really want to go home. And that's what I'm sharing with you. You know, so if you go on 50 days, that's basically two, three brick walls. So, you know, you need to be prepared because that's part of the whole around the world experience, a different time zones, the whole thing. But it is something that is, you know, you can chalk it up and say, I'm one of them. I did it.
We'll have to put on their posts, Circumnavigator Astrid.
Well, I haven't had a chance to make my application for the club. But maybe one day I'll get around to doing that. But there is a club like that. I don't know how active they are anymore. It was a pretty cool thing to do, I think, about 20 years ago. I think it's more for older people now, but I'm not sure.
How do you make sure that you're getting enough travel in your life? I think that people who listen to you talk about travel know that there's you're compelled to get out there and see the world. So how do you make sure that you're getting enough of that?
You can ask my husband. He'll say she's gotten way too much of it. Well, I approach it this way. You know, my focus is a lot different than most people because now I'm developing the website and all the material and the content, etc. But I really try to travel. It's my first focus is on my family and making sure that I do everything that is needed for my family's nurturing and keeping my family close and loving, close to my heart. That is what drives me every day, actually, to be the best person that I can be so I can, you know, encourage my family also to really continue to live fully and strive, etc. But after my focus on family, it is travel. And I try to travel as much as I can and as much as my budget will allow. So I'm unique because I love it, and it is now my focus. For the typical listener, you know, there have been statistics that I've read that people who like to travel solo, they will take as many as 4 trips a year. And most of their trips are like long getaways, long weekends, 4 and 5 days. That's not so out of the ordinary for people who do travel solo. And a lot of times I think what happens is, you know, of course their budget rules typically everything. If they really like to travel, you know, they can only travel so much is how much they allowed themselves, how much money to spend. But a lot of the travel goes on during the big holiday seasons, whether it's Thanksgiving or it's Christmas or New Year's. We in Louisiana celebrate Mardi Gras, so a lot of people go skiing during those holidays, or they go somewhere else because they don't want to be around Mardi Gras. They've done it already, you know, 5-10 times. It just depends, Catherine, on where you are on that spectrum in terms of loving to travel or just maybe want to do it once or twice, and really how much money you're willing to spend on doing it. But I try to do it as much as I can.
Would you say that safety concerns are still the number one thing that people ask you when they know that you're a solo travel advisor?
Oh, yes. Safety is really, I would say, the number one thing. They just don't know if it's worth going or, you know, what happens. And a lot of it, I really believe, is the sensationalism on the news media. Some of it is really bears listening to, but a lot of it is just, it just is sensationalism. Because I know London has had a lot of problems in the last 5 to 8 years, unfortunately. But when you go to London, unless you're isolated in the one little area where it happened, you don't feel anything like that. Same thing in Paris. So I tell people a lot of times, yeah, I mean, I can understand where you're less likely to want to go because you don't want to take the chance to put yourself in that situation. And then you think, why in the world did I ever leave my house? But I know where I live in my particular community, it's very dangerous here. We have murders all the time. It's probably more dangerous to be here on a daily basis than it is traveling in most everywhere in the world. And I always share with people, before you decide to go anywhere, go to the U.S. State Department, look at their travel section, look at their travel advisories, and if it says, do not travel there, you know, they have an advisory or a warning, choose somewhere else to go.
You've had so many different travel experiences. Can you give us an example of a best and a worst?
Oh, well, I'll start with the worst. The worst experience that I had traveling, and I actually wrote, well, I wrote a travel story, and it's a blog on my blog called The Unforgettable Taxi Ride. This was here again, I was going to my first travel bloggers conference before I even launched Astrid Solo Travel Advisor, to what's called TBEX. TBEX is a big association, and they offer conferences for best practices, all kinds of topics dealing with travel blogging. So I thought that this is something that I definitely need to do if I'm going to get into travel blogging and develop a website, etc. So I made my arrangements, and my flight got into Athens at about 4:45. And I thought, well, I'll just, you know, I'll take a taxi. It'll be daylight then, and I can get a taxi into my hotel. dumb. First and foremost, I did not arrange with the hotel to have a driver pick me up in Athens, Greece. Now, I don't know why, but that just, I forgot to do it, basically. So then once I forgot to do it, I didn't email the hotel, you know, en route to do it. I just said, it'll be no problem. So I arrive in Athens, and, it's pitch black dark. The sun's not coming up for about another hour and a half. And I was very tired, jet lagged, and I thought, I'll just take a cab. It'll be all right. And so I get up, and this little guy is in a cab. He can barely see over the steering wheel, but he looks like a harmless elderly gentleman. I thought, oh, this will be all right. So I get into the cab, and, you know, he pulls out of the airport area, and then we get out, and I'll never forget. They would go to a stop sign, and he turns up the music in this cab, this Greek music, so loud. I thought, God, why does he want the music this loud? He turns it up, and then he starts shifting this manual shift to the music, going speeding, then stopping hard, and starting to go into hills. And I thought, why aren't we getting into on the freeway? I've rarely gone into a big city that you start going towards town through the hills. So, I mean, he was getting more erratic. He'd stop and then he'd drink some coffee. And I mean, I thought, my God, this gentleman is not well. I think he's crazy. And I thought, what happens if he just throws me out of this car in the middle of nowhere? You know, I mean, I was really starting to get scared. So I got my phone out and I was texting my husband, you know, trying to tell him if anything happens to me. I don't know where I am, but I'm in the hills of Athens trying to get to my hotel. And I mean, this went on for about 20 minutes, and I am not kidding you. I was praying, and I was so, I just said, well, you know, if something happens, it just happens. And it was awful. I mean, I wanted to really throw up. Then all of a sudden, we do start coming into an area that's kind of like a warehouse district. And I thought, well, my God, there is civilization. If I have to jump out of the car, leave my suitcases, I don't care. At least I know that I can find a restaurant or something somewhere where I can call the hotel and get somebody to pick me up. You know, it doesn't matter if I lose all my luggage. So then all of a sudden, after about 5 minutes, here I see basically the city, or I knew I was getting close, and then we get to the hotel. But right before I got to the hotel, it dawned on me something. My attitude completely changed. It was so weird what happened to me. I thought, you know, this man is trying so hard to make a living. He's obviously has a lot of issues. And this was a time where the Greek government had gone completely bellied up. The cash was worth nothing. The runs on the banks. He's not at home sleeping. He's driving. He's trying to make some money. And if this is the way he's doing it, drinking coffee, driving crazy to the music, trying to stay up in the middle of the night, you know, it touched my heart. So when he got to the, when we finally pulled up to the hotel, and I was so relieved, I told him, you know, in English, and I don't know if he understood it, I told him, thank you so much for getting me to my hotel safely. And I gave him a very substantial tip. And I did this because I knew in my heart that this man was trying to be a man and make a living in a very bad situation. So the bottom line of the story is, always arrange for the taxi or somebody to pick you up at the airport when you're arriving very early, even if you think the sun is going up, and especially when the sun is going down, and really pretty much everywhere in the world. I think it's a good idea for solo travelers to do that now. But I will never forget that taxi ride because I was so scared. It was so weird. The whole thing was very weird. But it was real weird, too, how it ended. Because I think God, or there was something that told me, you know, what was really going on. And oddly enough, the next day, I took a travel writing course as part of the conference. And the travel writer, our first assignment was to write a story, an interesting story, using all the different aspects of a good story, a good travel story that he had just taught us that day about your trip to Athens, something that happened to you on the way to Athens. So I thought, oh boy, do I have a good story. And one of the aspects of it is you should always have something of surprise in the story. So I thought, well, maybe that's a reason why I had that horrible experience, is at least I had something to write about. But first and foremost, like I said, arrange your transportation or know how you're going to get from the airport to the hotel, especially if it's not daylight. So that's the worst. I've had a few others, but not. I wasn't so scared out of my mind. You know, I've had some confrontations now, and I've had people intervene and everything turn out all right. But that was like, oh God, I don't know. This might be the end. It was awful. All I can say, it was awful, awful, awful. But the best, oh, I've had so many best. But probably the place that I had the most really unbelievable experience, and I didn't really expect it, was Egypt. Egypt just completely knocked me off my foundation. The ancient civilization of Egypt, all the temples and the burial sites and the different towns and everything that we experienced dealing with Egyptology, their belief systems, everything. I left Egypt thinking, you know, what has humanity lost? The sophistication that they had a long time ago, where did that come from? I mean, that just, like, it manifested itself out of the blue. It was very, very thought-provoking, very beautiful. There was just a sophistication and just a high-mindedness in many ways that I was not aware how much of it, how that existed so long time ago. So Egypt, I must say, I hope to go back to Egypt, even revisit some of the places that I went, do a lot more research before I go, so I can really appreciate Egypt. But Egypt is magnificent. I mean, if you can make it happen, go to Egypt. Be careful. I mean, there are a lot of things that I can do. You know, if you want to know my tips on how what I did for safety precautions, etc. And if there's a travel warning at the time you want to go, don't go. But Egypt is fabulous.
That's it.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you so much for listening. We would like you to subscribe and share our podcast or any of our other podcasts that you have listened to. I enjoy doing this very much. You know, this is something that I'm developing a skill at doing. So I thank you for listening. And if you want more information about Astrid Solo Travel Advisor, plug in astridtravel.com, as well as I'm on all social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Thank you for listening.
We'll have a link to the Thinking Liberty podcast episode featuring Astrid in the show notes. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the show, and we'll see you next week on Solo Travel Talk.
Thank you for listening to Solo Travel Talk. Follow Astrid on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. To learn more about Astrid or solo travel advisors, visit our website, astridtravel.com.